Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you, and welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs show over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented by SAMA, the Southern Alleghenies Museum of Art at the Anderson House, Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years, and by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I'll return shortly with today's guest, Lucille Kentner of the Bedford County Jail, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Barry DeLara, County Commissioner of Bedford County, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, Tim Turner is the new executive chef, and you're in for a real treat.
This is still good food, and I think that that's what helps bring a little bit more of the fine dining, but it still gives you that home country cooking where you can make a nice steak and potato dish, still make it taste great.
You don't have to live here to eat here. Call Homewood now for reservations at 623-0349 to learn what's cooking tonight. Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
Attention race fans, Thomas Chevrolet is giving away a NASCAR Racecation for two. Test drive a Chevy now through September 1st at Thomas Chevrolet in Bedford, and you'll be entered to win a Racecation of a lifetime that includes riding shotgun with race car legend Dale Jr., 5 nights hotel accommodations, tickets to watch the big NASCAR races at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Visit thomaschevrolet.com to find your ride. Thomas Chevrolet, located along Business Route 220 in Bedford. All details at the dealership.
This is Nelson Farrow of Hospitality Spring Farm. Let's head back to Bedford County Speaks right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Okay, I just want to make it very clear. I have not been picked up for DUI or speeding or anything like that. I'm in the Bedford County Jail to talk to Lucille today, but merely on a professional basis. But she is very much a professional, and I had a chance to meet Lucille at the recent resource fair they had at the county, and I was so fascinated with her job, I thought, boy, what a great candidate for Bedford County Speaks. So, Lucille, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
I am in for the very, very first time in the Bedford County Jail, and I must tell you, it is a little intimidating. Lucille has offered me a tour later on, which I'm going to take and go around and see what they do here. I first met Lucille because she was had a little booth, actually, at the resource fair, and her title is treatment specialist. So I need you to tell me kind of from the beginning, how did you enter this world of work?
If you had asked me back in 1993 when I was in college, if I wanted to work in a jail, I would have laughed in your face. This is an unexpected career. And let me put it to you this way. I majored in education when I was in college, double major, with heavy on the psychology. Was a teacher for many years. In 2012, I moved to Bedford with my family upon the death of my father to help my mom. Mm-hmm. At that point, I started working at a local nonprofit. And one of the jobs at the local nonprofit was to be a GED teacher.
Right.
And I became a GED teacher for that local nonprofit, and I came to the jail to be a GED teacher twice a week. At first, I was reluctant, did not want to go to the Hooskow, as I told my my supervisor at the time. But you know what? I walked in. I had a wonderful time with the inmates. It was not at all what I expected, and I found myself wanting to come back week after week. I was so thrilled. And it was something I actually looked forward to. And we fast forward a few years, and the treatment specialist that was before me had decided to retire, and I saw the job advertised, and I applied. And here I am, and I absolutely love it.
Are you the only one here?
Yes, I am.
So you have the whole shebang in terms of all of this. Now, are you like their local school teacher as well in here?
Well, that's a very good question. We have other school teachers who do come into the facility. For instance, the state of Pennsylvania, or the Commonwealth, I should say, if you are under the age of 21, you are still entitled to a high school education if you do not graduate. Okay? So any of our inmates who are 21 and younger, if they wish to get their high school diploma, they're able to do so through Appalachia Intermediate Unit 8. And we then bring in these teachers, and they come in and they contact the former school district of the inmates, and they find out how many credits they need, what classes they need in order to graduate. Now, that being said, when you are an inmate in the Bedford County Jail, the Bedford County Correctional Facility, you are a resident of the Bedford Area School District.
Oh.
So we then work with Principal Kane at the Bedford County, at the Bedford Area High School. And he comes in and they collaborate on, okay, he needs these many credits. Will Bedford accept this credit? Will Bedford accept that credit? And they come up with an acceptable graduation plan. And then those inmates go to classes here and they get their diploma. Not their GED, but their diploma. So in the past year, we've graduated 6 inmates.
So this is interesting. So I'm aware of the GED program, and I'll tell you why I'm so aware of it in a minute.
Okay.
And but this, they actually finish high school here. So
they do.
Is there a classroom setting?
They do have a classroom setting. They do have, we do give them a graduation. We get caps and gowns from the high school. They get an actual diploma from the Bedford Area High School. And we try to make it as special as we can for them. We bring in donuts and coffee and orange juice. And we have a little gathering up front with administration. And they come in and we take a few pictures. And we email them with their permission, of course, to their family so that they feel that they were there.
You know, this is interesting to me because we always see in the media about how people go to jail or prison. And, you know, it's supposed to be rehabilitative, but it isn't. They go in, sometimes they come out worse or not as good or the same. But it sounds like you've got something going here where there may be a positive outcome.
We do try to rehabilitate inmates. Yeah. Now, you have to want to be rehabilitated. Let me just say that much. But we do have I can't tell you, any inmate who has ever got their high school diploma has always said to me, if I didn't go to jail, I wouldn't have received this. Hmm. So there is an upside to this.
Yeah.
And they all say that. They are all very much aware of the fact that they did not have the incentive on the outside to go back to school. But while they're here, we strongly encourage it. And they do take us up on the offer, so it's very good. I'm very happy to see those who have, you know, graduated go on to get jobs and move on with their life and become productive members of society, which is what we want.
Well, you know, I bet you the students in here are better students than the kids that were in Bedford High thinking about their girlfriends.
Well, they're still thinking about their significant other on the outside. I guarantee that because I see the letters and I see the visits that come through here. Yeah. But they are, for lack of a better term, of captive audience.
Yeah, they are.
And they do their homework. They show up to class on time. And I can't complain, nor can the teachers that come in to help them.
Boy,
you know?
This is something. I was looking forward to this interview because I knew it was going to be interesting. Our guest is Lucille Kentner, and Lucille is the treatment specialist here at the Bedford County Jail. And, you know, you see all in the paper sometime, you know, somebody's done some minor offense to end up for a few days in this place. So those are not the kind of inmates that you're talking about. People be here for some time.
They do.
Where they can go and finish this whole program. I know it's different in every case, but you say that was interesting. You said they're entitled to a high school education.
Yes, yeah. that is the law per se in Pennsylvania, yeah. That if you are under the age of 21, you are entitled to a high school education by the local area school district.
I see.
So if you were on the outside and decided to drop out and go back in, you would still be entitled to that.
I see. Okay. So.
But since you're here and we offer it. Now, on the other hand, if you are over the age of 21, we can't offer that to you, but we can offer you the opportunity to obtain your GED.
Right.
Now, let me say this with your GED. The GED, the name GED is exactly that. It's a copyrighted name of a company. Actually, what you're obtaining is your secondary high school credential. Now, back when I was working for the nonprofit many years ago, the GED back, I believe it was in 2014, had changed to a specific computer-based test only. And Bedford, being such a rural county, a rural area, we didn't have a computer-based testing center in the area. So a lot of people were missing out on the opportunity to take their GED because they had to get to a Pearson testing site.
Yeah.
And I don't recall where they were, but I know that they were at least an hour away, both, you know, one way and then an hour back. So I worked with Representative Topper to get a paper-based test back into this area, and he did so much work for us. He was a blessing. We eventually got the HiSET test into Bedford County. And the HiSET test has now been accepted by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania as the equivalent of the GED. And the HiSET test is not only less expensive, but it's also paper-based. So now, that being said, it opens up the opportunity for a secondary high school credential to more people because they don't have the transportation. We don't have the public transportation to get to these testing sites, these computer-based testing sites. Now, the jail itself, has become an addendum testing site. So now we can also offer the GED test or the HiSET test, I should say, in the facility. So we're very happy that we can offer from start to finish the full secondary credential experience here.
I had no idea it was that involved now. That is really something. And these inmates who complete their GED and pass all the tests do get a GED certificate,
anybody else. Yes, a HiSET. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know in many quarters that's equivalent to a high school diploma.
Yes.
I think it is by law.
It is by law, and it is by the U.S. military, and we have had recruiters in here who have been more than willing to accept that.
Right. So why do I know so much about the GED? Well, in 1964, I completed my GED when I was in the United States Navy in San Diego.
Excellent.
So that's why I knew about it, and it wasn't anything like you described now. I don't think they had a private company. I took mine at the University of San Diego, so I had no idea.
Well, and I have to say, as a former teacher of the test, I have to say, I think it's more complicated than the actual high school. I mean, I give credit to people who go through that test and pass it. I think it's fantastic, the gumption that they show to finish it and the enthusiasm they have once they pass it.
When we come back, we'll learn all about the Bedford County Jail and everything that Lucille does here when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. We hope you're enjoying this week's Bedford County Speaks. We're pleased to sponsor this community effort every week. Sometimes people ask us how we do business. Well, it's simple. When a family firm like us has been around for over 100 years, you learn a lot. For example, we know you don't care for haggling, so instead, we discount our vehicles up front to remove all the guessing. We also pay our sales consultants on volume rather than on the price of the car or truck. That way, everyone works to get you the vehicle you want instead of the one we may want to sell you. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru offers transparent financing with protection options to fit your budget. In addition, when you buy a car or truck from us, you get free state inspections for life, free car washes for life, and great warranties, which remove all the worry. And we'll even buy your trade for cash. So stop by our showroom today and check out our beautiful supply of Chevrolet cars, tough Chevy trucks, and those fabulous worry-free Subarus. That's the Thomas Promise. To learn more, visit us on Route 220 or thomaschevrolet.com.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
So I have arrived, as I mentioned when the program began, at the Bedford Jail. Actually in a very nice spot. It's out in the middle of the country, very pleasant out here, quiet. You probably see wildlife and deer from time to time.
We do. We have a lot of wildlife in our backyard.
Do the deer ever try to get in, you know?
Not that I know of, no.
So let me ask you about this program that you specifically work on, and that is the whole thing you were telling me about at the fair, which is called the EXIT program.
The EXIT program, yes.
So what does that do?
The EXIT program is to help inmates who are transitioning back into the community. And it stands for Ex-Inmates in Transition. And one of the reasons why we have established that here in Bedford County is that we realize that there are many people who come into this facility without anything. They don't always have family to back them up on the outside. They've come in and they've lost their driver's license, their social security cards, their birth certificates, everything that they need to be employable. Okay? So we try to help them get all of those documents back up and in place for them so that they are able to go to CareerLink or Sperion or a private employer and fill out an I-9 form and be gainfully employed. We also help them find homes, treatment programs, anything that they would need in order to assimilate successfully back into the community. And we could not do that without all of the nonprofits in the area, all of the churches that help us. It's been a wonderful, wonderful collaboration of private citizens and area agencies that have all pulled their resources to help us pull this off. And I'm thankful, very thankful.
How tough is it for someone leaving this facility to get a job? Is there a prejudice out there on behalf of the employers, probably against someone? I don't know, I want to lock this guy. He's in jail, you know. We don't want that. I mean, is there that kind of thing?
There is a bit of a prejudice. Now, let me tell you what we've done for that. We have been, again, granted the wonderful opportunity to work with Goodwill of the Southern Alleghenies. Goodwill of the Southern Alleghenies has been the recipient of a $260,000 grant plus, and we are one of three counties that they have decided to work with. What they do is that they have come into the facility and they have run what they call a workforce development program. And they come in twice a week and they have a reintegration specialist come in and work on the inmates with their resumes, how to answer certain questions. You know, they have a list of places that are more than willing to hire people with an offender's background. And some of the companies around here have hired people just from what they've seen them do out in the borough. For instance, last year our deputy warden took a few of our inmates who had outside clearance downtown to the Greens, and they put a new roof on some of the buildings out there. And some of the area businesses liked what they saw so much that they offered the inmates jobs on the spot. And those inmates, I know for a fact, are still gainfully employed there because I see them out in the community. Yeah. I've seen one at Giant Eagle not too long ago telling me he was still working there and he's moved his way up and he's making more money than most of the other people in the area.
Well, this is what I was wondering. If somebody's in this facility and there's no major crimes in here. This isn't a lockdown prison of any kind. So this is a place where maybe someone made a mistake. They came in, they get on with their life. But if you're already a good carpenter, or you're already a good electrician, or you already know something about construction, you're just as valuable when you leave as when you entered.
Exactly. Yeah. There are some exclusions to that fact. So, for instance, if you're arrested for retail theft, I don't suggest you go and apply at Walmart Distribution Center. You have to pick and choose where you go so that you have more of a chance to be successfully employed. And that's what this workforce development program does. We also have one for veterans, and that is starting on the 26th. That is a veteran employability workshop. We do work with the Veterans Administration, and we have people who are subcontracted through them who come in here. We have 7 veterans right now who are in this jail. And they go ahead and they go through this program, and they have a separate program that helps them. It's very much similar to what the Goodwill of the Southern Alleghenies does, but for these individuals who may have spent X number of years in the military, they learn how to translate the skills that they learned through their MOS into more civilian terms, what would apply to, say, a job at MDL versus when you were in the Army and you did such and such.
Sure.
So
Lucille's job is to organize all of this,
yes,
I gather. So if you hear of a program like this and you're here in your office and it's coming through, you say, okay, this might be something that we could work with here at the Bedford Jail.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at this stuff all the time. Is that correct?
Always. And they're always – I am surprised that sometimes people call me and they wish to volunteer. We have a limited schedule, however, so we have to pick and choose what would apply to most inmates because we have to work around the jail's security schedule versus headcount and lockdown and med pass and lunch, dinner, and the whole bit. So we only have a certain number of hours in the day to do this. And as it is right now, we do have church volunteers who come in on the evening times and on the weekends to get some of their programs in as well. So we are offering something constantly. We don't want people sitting here twiddling their thumbs. We do have a lot of programs available. Now, that being said, it's up to the inmate to take the opportunities, take them and jump on them and utilize them. I can't force you to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So if they're sitting around saying they're bored, it's not because it's not offered. It's because they have to take advantage of it while they're here.
Well, I can't think of a pastor in any church anywhere that hasn't told their congregation somewhere along the line to go visit people in jail.
Yes.
So it's one of the things. Well, they do it. They say it all the time. And what 1% of 1% actually do it. So
we have wonderful. We have we have something like 50-something pastoral volunteers that come through this church. And we have a beautiful chapel that is – it's not actually part of the jail, but it is through the chapel committee. There was a conglomerate of churches that turned around and built that facility when the jail was built. And I work with the chaplain, Chaplain Cindy Milburn.
I was going to ask you if the jail had a chaplain.
So we do have a chaplain.
So Cindy Milburn is your chaplain along with her own church. Is that how
Yes,
it works?
She is our chaplain, dedicated to our chaplain. And she allows us, for the first time since the jail has been here, she has allowed our programs, as long as they have a religious basis, to be held in the chapel. We hold our parenting class in the chapel, and we are accompanied by a pastoral volunteer, and we pray prior to the class and after the class for the parents who are taking opportunity of this program so that they're reunited with their children and they learn the skills that they need to learn to be successful and supportive parents.
As I was waiting for you before this interview, I was in your lobby, and I was looking at the people that were in there with me. Are they visiting inmates? Is that what they're there for mostly?
Yes, we do have visitation every day. They are here to visit loved ones who are in this facility. We have visitation each day. Now, it is 9 to 11 in the morning, 1 to 4 in the afternoon, and 7 to 9 in the evening. And they have one-hour increments to visit.
So is there some limitation to how often a spouse or a mother or father can come and see someone?
Yes. Well, there's 3 days a week that they can have visits. But of those 3 days, they are allowed two visits. So that's how it goes. And you have to be an approved visitor on their list.
I see.
So that when you come in and you do your orientation, you have to fill out a visitor's form that says, you know, this is the person, the address, and the birth date of the individual that I'd wish to come in and see me. Mm-hmm. And it is run through our administrative office for approval. And it goes in a book up front. And if you come in to see an individual, you leave your ID in the box up there. You sign in. And we check it against the forms that are up there. And if we see that Mr. Jones is here to see Mr. Smith and it's been approved, we call you into their little room over there and you get your visit through glass.
Gotcha. Well, you know, when I hit 10, the Bedford commissioner meetings, there's not a meeting that doesn't come up when this facility isn't brought up at some discussion. So, and I asked one of the commissioners once how important this was to the county. And they said, well, it is our biggest facility. Of all the things the county operates, this facility is the biggest thing. So I can understand how it would take up all their time. Do you have any idea how many people work in this building?
Yeah. We have three shifts a day. We have approximately, I want to say maybe 9 officers per shift, plus 2 lieutenants, a treatment specialist who works myself, the 8 to 4 shift. We have administrators. We have the warden, the 2 deputy wardens, the deputy warden of administration, the deputy warden of operations, our accountant, our booking officer, and our assistant, administrative support assistant.
I want you to know Lucille gave me that entire list without notes. This is one bright girl. I want to tell
you. Well, thank you.
You are something.
Thank you.
And I want to tell you that everything she's told you here today, she's doing right off the top of her head. There's no papers on the desk or anything here. You know, a lot of my interviews, they bring an entire loose leaf book of things to look at. You're absolutely amazing. Lucille,
we become immersed.
Lucille Kettner is our guest here, and we are at the Bedford Jail, which is just a minute north of Collegiate Road in the Turnpike overpass there. So, as you say, it's easy to get to. Not that you want to come here every day.
I love it. Why don't you want to come visit us? Come on.
Okay, well, you can come and visit Lucille. That's definitely worth the trip. Tell me about the process. Once someone, I guess, is sentenced for an infraction, they come here, right? They get in one of those vans the sheriffs have, and they bring them over here. Is that how you bring people in and out?
More or less, yes. What happens is this. It's not necessarily that they're sentenced. It's that they've been accused of something.
Okay.
They're brought over here. They come in through the side door where we have the fenced-in area. That's a sally port. They're brought into the facility where they are given an intake triage by the booking officers there who do a wonderful job. It is meant to ask questions about the inmate, make sure that they're psychologically stable, that they don't need immediate attention to their medical needs, et cetera, et cetera. They are showered, put into a uniform, their pictures are taken, and they are placed in holding until they are medically cleared. That is until you have your tuberculosis mm-hmm. test done, et cetera. Then once that happens, you're put onto your regular housing unit. And the lieutenants do that. They base their decision upon where you're placed upon your charges. Okay, then you sit here and you wait until your court date, your preliminary hearing, and then you are brought you sort of know more or less when your next date in court is. And then once you are sentenced and you know if you're going to say stay here for 30 more days or if you're going to go upstate, go to a prison versus mm-hmm. staying in the county jail, then you start making those preparations to transfer out or to actually be released.
Well, not knowing much about law enforcement, I had forgotten that a jail is also a place you go to while you're being accused. And I've
yes.
forgotten about that.
We are a holding facility.
Yeah. So if you're arrested and they have to put you someplace overnight, they bring you here. Is that what happens?
That does yeah. happen okay. occasionally. We have people who come in and are released almost immediately. They're bailed out for
gotcha.
Whatever reason.
I see.
And we have people who have been here 2 years.
Gotcha. Okay. Our guest is Lucille Kentner of the Bedford Jail. We have just a few more minutes. You've been fascinating, by the way. You really have. I had no
Thank
idea
you.
All of this was going on in here. Do you see people come back? Do you see faces that you've seen before?
Yes, I
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons for the exit program.
Right.
We're trying to reduce the recidivism rate in Bedford County. It's not always possible,
right.
but we do try our best. Another program that we are working on implementing is the Stepping Up Initiative. That is something that was it's a nationwide initiative,
gotcha.
Trying to keep the people who have mental health issues out of jail to begin with. And utilize more of the community-based services so that they're not put into jail and they go through that whole cycle of probation violations because they don't have the wherewithal right. to avoid them. We're trying to prevent that from happening. We have county jails, not just Bedford County, but rural jails
yeah.
in general throughout the United States have mm-hmm. become the default holding center for inmates or for individuals, I should say, with mental health issues. Pennsylvania is down to, I believe, 5 or 6 state hospitals from 18.
Yeah.
So what happens is when we do get these individuals in, we have a waiting list prior to them being able to go and get
When I was a kid, living in the Philadelphia area, they had a huge hospital called Byberry. They had another one in Phoenixville, which was also enormous. And today, the social scientists say this is why we have people roaming the streets homeless, is because they used to be in these places. And we also had a hospital called a Hospital for the Criminally Insane, which, of course, would be anti-PC today. But I thought they really served their purpose. So now the jails are being burdened with this, aren't they? Because I would imagine a lot of people are in here because they are mentally ill and not necessarily a criminal.
Not just the jails, but the prisons as well.
Yeah.
The prisons as well. I will say that Bedford County does do a very good job of assessing these people as soon as they come in, hence the intake triage.
Mm-hmm.
So we do move them through and get them up to Torrance State Hospital as soon as we can.
So you have a psychologist that looks at them and they come in
we
here?
We do. Or, we do yeah. have a subcontracted medical provider
right.
who does see them immediately.
Well, I could talk to you ever. We're out of time, but I tell you, you've been a wonderful guest. I mean, you really have. You've been one of the best interviews we had. It's been fascinating to
listen to thank
this.
You. I enjoy my job. I really do. I do have a very I do love the inmates. I know as awful as that sounds, I do really care about them as individuals. And I will say this, that our officers are fantastic because in order for you to have this job, you really have to live. Our officers are wonderful. I have great administration. I couldn't ask for a better place to work. I wake up every morning and I'm excited to go to work.
Well, Bedford County's lucky to have you.
Thank well,
you
thank you very much.
Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by the Southern Alleghenies Museum of Art at the Anderson House. Thomas and Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years, and by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I look forward to joining you next time, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD. If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.